look into us. That's come around that fast again. What's going on with time? Wow. Men's breakfast Saturday, 8 a.m. here at the church building. Thank you. Small groups. That's come around that fast again. All right, yeah, every second Sunday we have small groups. We have one at the Figaro's and one at the Belises. And if you're interested in small groups, we gather at 6 and go over the message, and it's a nice informal group. So very good. Okay. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the good words that you have preserved for us. And as I consider the philosophies of the world and other religions, it just seems so burdensome. You never know where you stand. And you've given us, Lord, a wonderful faith that has a rest attached to it. There's certainty. There's a degree of simplicity. You even give us your very nature by the Holy Spirit so that we can live out this faith. And so we take this word today as just part of that wonderful mix, grace upon grace, and may it affect us and others for many days. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, last week I had given a message called The Blessing, and it was part of the Joseph series, Joseph Part 18, if memory serves. And we honed in on a episode in the narrative in Genesis where Joseph brought his father Jacob before Pharaoh. And the Bible says that Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And then Jacob spoke about his life. And it says again, Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And the concentration was upon our words. How do we bless people? It's when we speak on the behalf of God, we speak truth, and that is the blessing. Like in the first word, the first time blessing is used in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 1, that God blessed them, and he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the sea and such. And so blessing's not just some abstract, like God bless you, and it's just words, but it's attached to how we speak and to communicate to each other. And when we do say, God bless you, God acts, God hears, and he's intending on blessing, and as we're going to see today, he's intending on blessing us so that we can be a blessing. Now, the best way to connect back with last week is Brent DeVee shared some things with me about receiving the blessing. And so, Brent, why don't you come on down, and he's just going to share with us about how he was blessed by his father. And I think that'll provide a good link between what was shared last week, because we were missing a few people here and there last week. What was shared last week and then what is forthcoming.
Good morning. Good morning. I tried to write down my thoughts so I could be concise and relay what I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you. Years ago, I felt inspired by God to be purposeful in trying to create what I guess I'd call benchmark or milestone moments or events for my son, Brian. I'd read a book on, Wild at Heart, and it just encouraged, this type of thing to just really give your son those kind of moments. And so tried to do that. One of the places I know when we made the decision to have him go from a Christian school to high school, I wrote a letter, and he read it publicly in front of his grandparents and everything, and just to kind of really, know that we trusted him, and that we thought it was the right time. I remember on his 16th birthday, we really tried to do it up big, and he got a 12-gauge shotgun for Christmas or for his birthday that year. It was just, kind of a rite of passage, for that young man. On his high school graduation, his grandfather and I took time and prayed a blessing similar to what I'm going to describe over his life, and I think he remembers it to this day. So fast forward, you know, my dad had been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and he'd had 7 or 8 really good years, but his symptoms eventually had gotten bad enough that my mom could not really take care of him alone, and he was going to have to go to a nursing home. And I think we all kind of know, you know, when that point comes, sometimes it's there's not a lot of time left. And so, you know, my dad was one of the, I consider him kind of Abraham-like, because he was the youngest of 9 kids, and he was really the only one. They didn't go to church. He was a school bus kid, or a church bus kid, I should say. Got picked up on a church bus, and at 6 years old, gave his heart to Jesus. And he, you know, he really tried his best. Even, you know, his parents didn't really go to church or anything. He continued on. He committed his life to Christ and followed faithfully. And so he didn't have an example of that. And but so that's kind of why I consider him kind of Abraham-like. He was the first in his family. And I had always known that my dad was a man of prayer. And I truly believed that he could reach the throne room and touch the heart of God. I know he'd prayed for me almost every day of my life. But I really desired a milestone moment of my own to cling to for the time ahead when my dad would no longer be here with me. And so I wanted to, you know, a prayer of blessing from my father, likened to that of the Jewish fathers, that would extend the birthright, you know, as Isaac did for Jacob and Jacob did for his sons in the Word. And I tried to orchestrate this several times, but I could sense that at times my dad's clarity wasn't good, or that, you know, he just wasn't feeling well. And so, you know, that day just, it didn't work out. And I'd almost given up on the thought of this, that it might not happen, until one Saturday I went over to visit my mom. And when I walked in the door, my dad was there. The nursing home he stayed at was right next door to where she lives, in an independent living apartment. And he was there, and he was energetic, and he was present. And I thought, today is the day. And so I told him my desire for this special prayer blessing and asked if he would do this for me. And I told him that I wanted a video recorded. And he said, absolutely. So I think you got a picture coming up here. So, my dad reminded God that he and my mom had dedicated me as a baby. And he thanked God for being with me all my life. And he prayed for the anointing for me to live out the calling on my life, my career, and for the sovereign guidance of the Holy Spirit. He prayed for my marriage, for me to be the husband that God had called me to be. He prayed against the plans for evil that Satan had for me and my family, and that God would accomplish his perfect plan for my life, and that nothing would stand in the way of the full measure of the blessings intended for me. He prayed for my son's life and the lives of great-grandchildren in the future. That legacy of faith and devotion that God would continue. Wow. Is better than I hoped for, and I cherish it to this day. This was taken on Memorial Day, about a month before my dad passed. It's the last picture I have of him and I. But I wanted to encourage all you fathers, you know, to create your own milestones for your family. Maybe birthday blessings over the coming year, or special occasions. You know, I know they might be embarrassed, and but they won't forget it. I promise you. They'll be blessed, and so will you. So I just hope this blesses you.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Can you go back to the first picture? You know, we want to see the power of God, and sometimes, why isn't God at work or whatever? That's the power of God. For all the other things that can manifest them, here is a manifestation of the power of God, and this is what God wants us to be to others. This is what God wants us to be in the world. Is where we go, we leave a trail of blessings behind us. In our world, we run into a lot of situations and people that wherever they go, they leave a lot of destruction. They leave a trail of victims behind them. And Christians should be the exact opposite. We're called to be a blessing. Genesis 12:2, speaking of Abraham, God had called Abraham, and this is one of the very first things that he says to Abraham in that call. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that. Can you say so that? I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to exalt you. You're going to have a great reputation in order that you will be a blessing. Now, the word blessing, to break it down, and it is difficult because it's one of those core words, those words that you can only like describe facets. Like, how do you really define worship? How do you define faith? How do you define love? Well, blessing is like that too. But to make a bit of an attempt, some of the words that go with blessing is pleasing, beneficial, prosperity, and one of the words from the Hebrew meaning is pool, like a spring, a pool of water that just brings a refreshing. I like that imagery. And so that helps us to understand what God wants us to be. Someone that is beneficial, someone that is like a spring of refreshing water in a dry and dreary world. Or let's look at it from another perspective. Blessing is necessitated by the negative condition that we find in the world. If the world wasn't in the state it was in, then there would be no need for blessings. Adam and Eve came into a situation which was perfect. It was blessed. Everything was good. So there was really no need for them to be a blessing because there was no curse. And so because we're in a cursed realm and everything that we see, as we heard earlier, is passing away and it's under vanity, no matter how good it might be, even marriage, till death do you part. That good situation has an end point. Because of the condition of the curse, the blessing is God's antidote. It's how God turns things in the other direction. Now let's consider Abraham, and as we consider Abraham, let us make it personal and consider ourselves. And everybody who's a Christian is in some respects in the pattern of Abraham. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we're grafted into the vine and we're like adopted into Abraham's seed. We're part of his family. Well, when we think about Abraham, three things come to mind, and then he gets this call. God called Abraham out. Abraham was in a family of pagans. He's the first, as we heard from Brent. And God called him out of the darkness, out of idolatry, out of paganism. And God called Abraham into an inheritance, into something that would be an already condition, but not yet. You're here in the land that's going to be yours, but Abraham really only owned a graveyard. And then God called Abraham to be a blessing. And this is so much like our experience as Christians. God has called me out of darkness. He's called you out of the kingdom of darkness. And he's put us in a situation where we're already right with God, but we're not quite yet to our potential. It's always a bit of a tension, already but not yet. Just like Abraham, I'm already in the land that's mine, but it's not quite there yet. And God has called us to be a blessing in this place that we're in right now, just like Abraham. And so the pattern is significant to me. And then we couple this with what we know to be the truth and have reinforced in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul prays, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." When we are called out and we're ushered into this new existence with God, old creation to new, God immediately equips us. We're fully outfitted. How many of you are hunting? So you want to be outfitted. You want to have everything ready. You don't want to get out there, get in your stand and go, "I forgot my ammo." Then you got to get down, go back, make noise. Anybody ever do that, by the way? You forget. You want to be fully outfitted. Well, in our Christian experience, we're fully outfitted. We have all the resources of heaven. You can't point to people that you think are more spiritual and say, "Well, they've got the goods and I don't." God does not, he's not partial. Every one of his children has the full resources of heaven through the Holy Spirit. He's given us every good thing that pertains to life and godliness so that we can be partakers of the divine nature. And as it says here, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. So going back to the first verse, "I will bless you so that you will be a blessing," and we see the connection. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, and I don't think it does any disservice to the intent here, so that we can be a blessing. And wherever we walk, wherever we go, we leave a trail of blessings behind us. Fully outfitted, fully resourced, so we can be a blessing. Now, question. How can we be a blessing? And as usual, the answer is found in an example. And that is, we are to walk in the steps of our Savior. When Jesus came, of course, he did the work so that we could receive the blessing, but he also gave the example. And so for 3 years, he gave a wonderful example, and the gospel writers give us different pictures and accounts of what Jesus did. Well, in Acts, there's another great summary, if you will, of the life of Jesus. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, Peter said, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." What did he do? What was the byproduct of that? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And so we have our wonderful example, Jesus Christ, and then we also, as Christians, have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and the byproduct, or the fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, all that, is to go about doing good and bringing healing, bringing freedom. Where the devil has preyed upon people, we free them. We speak words of liberty. We're the potential, by the power of God, to bring light. We bring truth that would set people free. And so Jesus, he came into the world and was a blessing. And of course, the necessity of the heavenly blessing was due to the negative condition of the world. As I said earlier, if the world wasn't in such bad shape, he would have never had to come. And so we have Jesus shining brightly in a dark world. Now, in Mark chapter 10 and verse 16, we see some different forms of how he went about blessing people. And this is what I would consider an easy way to bless people. which implies there's some ways of blessing people which are more difficult. But here in Mark 10:16, he took the children in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now in the verse in Acts, his forms of blessing, different ways that he blessed people in his generation, just like there's different ways for you and I to be used as a blessing, to convey blessing, to be a conduit of life to people. In the verse in Acts, we see acts of kindness, we see miracles, and then here in Mark chapter 10, verse 16, we see Jesus loving the weak and the often ignored. Children were, by and large, ignored, and if you know the account, even the disciples were kind of shooing them away. We got important business to do, and it was a very male-centered, adult male-centered orientation and value system. And so even women at times were regarded as less important. Certainly the children, not all that important. But Jesus, he saw right through that. Everyone's important. Everyone has value. Now, if we look at it like an outsider looking in, the whole world is filled with outcasts. These, even his apostles that were shooing the children away, they themselves were outcasts, or as we heard in a recent message, the mumsars. And Jesus saw through that and chose to be a blessing. And God wants to use you and I like that. There are people that are marginalized, people that in the natural we might tend to shy away from or we would shoo away. But God wants us to be a blessing, and how easy it is just to take somebody, take a child, and just speak a word of blessing, to pray over them. Someone that's sick, someone that's weak, someone that's in need, to say, Lord, how can I be a blessing? I've been so blessed. How many of you are amazed from time to time at how blessed you are? If not, you need to pray against that spirit of ingratitude and that discontentment. All of us, if we were really inventory things, we'd say, wow, how's it possible that I could be this blessed? And that's good. But God has also given us much. Freely we've received, freely we should give. Now, Mark 10:21, this might kind of seem like a strange blessing because there are different forms or different ways that God wants to bless others through us like he did Jesus. Mark 10:21, and Jesus looking at him loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now this is the account that's commonly known as the rich young ruler. And he was all giddy really thought highly of himself. And what's left? Is there any little thing that I can do to be a person in the kingdom, to inherit the kingdom? And so Jesus, as usual, very witty, he begins to recount 6 of the 10 words, the 10 commandments. The first 4 are the vertical commandments. He ignores those. But the other 6 are the horizontal, the interrelational commandments. And he brings up 5 of them. And I might miss one here, but he brings up don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and don't murder. And this guy got all excited because, hey, A plus here. And then, oh, by the way, Jesus, he loves him. He wants to be a blessing. Sometimes a blessing comes in the form of a sharp reproof, a striking of truth, if you will. And Jesus, of course, when he went about, he didn't make a lot of friends. He didn't have a large fan base for long because he would start blessing people by speaking the truth. And he loved them all, and he loved them enough to not leave them in darkness, to not leave them in spiritual ignorance. And so he loves this man enough to say, oh, by the way, there is that 10th commandment. And Jesus discerns this guy is totally, he's an F. You get an F. You may think you're an A plus in the other five, but you are an F, and this disqualifies you. You're filled with covetousness, which is idolatry. And so go sell what you have given to the poor, and you know how that turned out. He turned sad, hung his head, forlorn, and then Jesus commented on how difficult it is to enter the kingdom in such a condition. And so different ways of being a blessing. And of course, you read the Gospels and you'll find other ways that Jesus was a blessing, because everything he did was a blessing. Whether it was a simple, encouraging word to the downcast, or whether it was a sharp, you brood of vipers, and denunciation of self-righteous religious people, all of it coming from Jesus was a blessing. And that's our example. God wants us to be like Jesus. The way in which he walked, he wants us to walk. The way in which he spoke, the way in which he acted. And it's not like just memorizing things and mustering them up. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power and reminds us of Jesus. And he's given us the Word. And he's given us examples in the body of Christ. We can see it in flesh at times, like we saw with Brent's father, of choosing to be a blessing. Now, contrast this with another path. There is a path strewn with blessings behind it. And then there's the path of worthless people, path of people that do not bring light, that do not bring peace, that aren't blessings in their generation. There was a king named Jehoram in 2 Chronicles chapter 21. How many of you have thought about King Jehoram lately? Jehoram is widely ignored. He's one of the kings of Judah. And usually when people memorize the list of kings, they'll at least do Judah's side. So he's one of the great-grandchildren of David. But by and large, he is not held in any regard. When it's understood, he's held in infamy. Now, this Jehoram was Jehoshaphat's son. Who's heard of Jehoshaphat? Of the kings of Judah, Jehoshaphat would certainly be in the top five. He was an excellent king. And so if you ranked him, when I rank them personally, I'd say Josiah, number one. I'd say Hezekiah, with some conditions. Asa, Jehoshaphat, and who am I missing there in the top five of the king? Did I say David? Yeah. David. So David, they would rank in the top five. Now, Jehoram, he's like worthless. And what's sad about it is here we have a king's kid who had a great example, who had everything given to him, an awesome example. He's in the line of David, and it's a blessed line. And let us look at this worthless one. Verse 4, when Jehoram had ascended the throne of his father and was established, he killed all his brothers with the sword, and also some of the princes of Israel. Think insecurity. Think everything's about me. Anyone who would dare challenge, that I would perceive to challenge my supremacy, after all, I'm the best thing ever, I kill them. So much like our world. Verse 11, moreover, he made high places in the hill country of Judah and led the inhabitants of Jerusalem into whoredom and made Judah go astray. And so here's an insecure guy that just kills off perceived competition, filled with pride, obviously, because pride and insecurity tie in together. And then he also stumbles other people. He has no problem, obviously, with leading people, victimizing other people. Verse 18, and after all this, the Lord struck him in his bowels with an incurable disease. In the course of time, at the end of 2 years, his bowels came out. Pretty nasty, huh? Particularly before lunch. His bowels came out because of the disease, and he died in great agony. Now, this is what is very telling to me. His people made no fire in his honor like the fires made for his fathers. He was 32 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. Here we have a 40-year-old guy. At the end of the day, look at this. And he departed with no one's regret. And they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. Have you ever known somebody that when they leave, that no one regrets it? Perhaps you've been in family gatherings, and Uncle Sal is there, and everybody's jittery because of him. Like, don't say anything, whatever you do. But when he leaves, it's like, no one regrets it. You ever been in a job where a boss or maybe a coworker, they get transferred, they leave, and there's no regret? It's even hard to act like it. Like, yeah, gonna miss you. Sadder still, God forbid that one of us who are King's kids, perfect King, Jesus, should be people that when we leave, no one regrets it. At the end of our life, not that we worship legacies or I want to have a great name and everybody be bawling at my funeral, but nobody should be bawling at mine, by the way, because the first three letters of my funeral are fun. I'm with the Lord. You ought to be jealous, not bawling. Anyway, he left, he died, no regret. What a sad thing it would be at the end of our life if we didn't leave a trail of blessings. We're still connected to the King, if you will. Our salvation is not based on our works, based on what Jesus did for us and our faith in that. But to have no real spiritual example that others would go, wow, she was a refreshing. He was a refreshing. They were a blessing. None of us are perfect, of course, but by and large, I would consider that person a blessing. Let's finish off here. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? How can I be a blessing to God? Right? God doesn't need anything, obviously, but don't you want to make your Heavenly Father happy, if you will? Don't you want to bring cheer to his heart? Well, here's a way to bless the Lord. The sacrifice of praise. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Thinking recently about praise, and I was trying to think of an acrostic. Well, it'd be a cool acrostic, P-R. But then I said, wait a minute. There's a word in the word praise. If you take the P off, what do you have? Raise. Or if it's plural, praises. You take the P off, you have raises. It's like when we praise God, it raises us above our present circumstances. It's like when you fly during the day and it's all overcast and dark, but then once you get above those clouds, you go, oh, this is the way it really is. That's been there all along. When you start to get all down, which if you're focusing on just his life, you will. It's inevitable. You're focusing on other people, you will. Focusing on the news, you surely will. Start to praise God. Let praise be the medicine of your heart. It's hard. That's why it's called a sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Do you have anything to praise him for? Praise him for who he is. Praise him for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Sometimes you've got to say to your soul, listen, soul, you are going to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise God. Listen to praise music if you need some primer. If you're just listening to woe is me stuff or angry stuff, then of course it's going to be harder, but get some praise music. Listen to Christian radio, and that can help you just to raise you up to an altitude where you transcend all the gray and the overcast and the oppression and the weightiness. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. And then how about horizontally? How can we bless people? Here's a great verse in Hebrews 13, verse 16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for with such sacrifices are pleasing to God. If you choose to be a blessing to someone's kids, let's say you left an endowment for someone's child to go to college, or you just took care of them in some way, your parents will know. The parent of that child will probably appreciate it more than the child himself or herself. When you bless my kids, you bless me and Jennifer, and we'll remember it longer than even the kids will. Well, guess what? God is a heavenly Father, and when you and I make a choice to bless His kids, I am going to bless brothers. I'm going to care for brothers. I'm going to share. And we read the book of Acts. We see that no one had any needs. Why is that? Because they brought resources. And they didn't know how to connect it all, but the church at that time was helping out the needy and such. And there's one great little account which sums it up. And Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, he sold a piece of land, brought it to the apostles' feet. I want to be like Barnabas. Now, I might not have a parcel of land to sell, but how can I bring something to someone else and be a blessing and for me to encourage, to care for others, to share? If it's always woe is me and just self-focus, it's going to go sour quick. But choosing to care, choosing to share, listening, what's going on out there? Who has needs? Whose car is broken down? Who could use help? Who could use a meal? Who could use some money? Who could use some time? The sacrifice of caring and sharing, blessing God, blessing others. What does God expect of me? Well, God expects each and every one of us to be a blessing. It doesn't matter if you're new to the faith or if you have years in the faith. God has blessed each of us with every spiritual blessing. Can you say every? It is not just the pastor who has every spiritual blessing, or the elder, or the deacon, or all of us have all the resources of heaven. God expects you and I to be a blessing. Here's a verse from Micah. With what shall I come before the Lord, bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings and calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sins of my soul? I mean, he's just ratcheting it up here. What does God want? Is God just an irritated being that I got to somehow pacify, like the pagan religions of old? You dealt with all of these different gods. You never knew where you stood, but got to pacify them somehow because they're angry or they're toying with us. That's not what God's into. This is an awesome verse, and I'm sure many of you have memorized Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you and I? Well, do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Well, what does that mean? Well, I'm not going to go too deep here, but it's a perfect mixture of a God-empowered person, a God-motivated person that treats other people right. It's like God has blessed us to be a blessing to others. And we can love kindness, which means mercy. It means it's grace in the Old Testament sense. We can walk humbly so the world doesn't rotate around me and the universe doesn't rotate around me, but instead I see myself properly and I have value, but I also have value so I can add value to other people. And when I'm doing things right, it's almost like another way of saying love God with all your heart and love your neighbor. It's a blending of the vertical and the horizontal. This is what God expects of us and our family. And let me finish with this. Proverbs 11:26 says, whoever withholds grain will be cursed. God has given us resources. He's given us grain of some type, not just to hoard it, but to be blessed and then be a blessing. And so let's pray. If we could just stand together. And close our eyes for a moment. If you have not yet come to the family of God, if you've not yet believed in Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. This is the time. I want to remember you in prayer after service today. If you would like me to pray for you today, believe on Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's the only way to be right with God. You can't wait till you get good enough. You have to go through the one that He sent was good enough, Jesus Christ. If you'd like me to remember you in prayer today, just raise your hand and I'll take some time after service. I'll pray for you. God loves you, friend. He adores you. He's paid the ultimate price. His own Son. God so loved you, He sent His only Son. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish. Let me pray for you. If that's anybody here today, raise your hand. You want to be a blessing. Brother and sister, you want to be a blessing. Lord, help me to be a blessing. Forgive me where I've been stingy, where I've withheld grain. Forgive me for being lazy. Forgive me for being so consumed with my own interests that the interests of others are almost a non-point. God, help me to be a strategic blessing. I don't need to be a busybody and be running here and there, but to be a precise blessing in a world that sure does need it. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Just come on down. I want to pray a prayer of blessing in that regards. Every one of us are called to be a blessing. Called to bring a pleasant, beneficial, prosperous, a well-like condition. And it is a necessity in a world that is marked by the curse. God's antidote to the cursed world is the blessing of Jesus Christ now being working through his body. Father, as I am here with my brothers and sisters, I ask this for all of us. Help us in our lives. Help us in our marriage. Help us in the home. Help us, Lord, in our different environments to be a strategic blessing by your power. Be a voice behind us saying, this is a way, walk in it. This is the time to give. This is the time to stop. Help us, Lord God, for having received so much, may we not go in the direction of worthlessness, that when we're not there anymore, we're just forgotten. Worse yet, that no one regrets it. Oh, Lord God, help us to reflect you. Help us to be epistles of you, living epistles, that wherever we go, even if people are repelled because of darkness, that we will still be a blessing. We won't revile when we're reviled. We won't enter into disputes and just have to be the one in the right. But let us just be an environment of peace and an outpost of light in such a dark world. Thank you, Lord God, for resourcing us today with your word so we can be a blessing. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Amen. Blessings upon you.